When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Got the number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawn and grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And hello, Tuesday. This is the last day of April. We say goodbye to April and hello to May starting tomorrow. DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Our producer has booked us quite the guest today. Joe Douglas, your Jets GM, is going to join us at 9:30 this morning. That's nice.
That's real nice. I think he tried for your GM, but there's some kind of disconnect between you being the Giants.
Right.
And us getting Giants guests.
I don't think me loving the Giants and being the Giants has any correlation to
him
getting.
It probably does.
Clearly not.
If you were the Giants, we'd have Joe Shane.
Well, it sounded like he made some inroads on Joe Shane.
Right. Like if RJ called, hey, it's the producer from Rothenberg and DiPietro.
Right.
No, he wouldn't say that. He said the Giants. DiPietro and the Giants.
Right.
You know, we're going to need you.
Well, it didn't work out like that. But I wouldn't close the door on that. I think at some point we'll get Joe Shane.
Well, wouldn't it have been nice that back-to-back, boom, boom, two GMs?
Listen, it's out of my purview. Maybe blame RJ.
I'm not going to blame
RJ. Maybe RJ's not doing the work, the legwork
that
needs to be done to get Joe Shane.
No, no.
Maybe Joe
legs.
Shane needs to be wined and dined a little bit, and RJ's not jumping through the appropriate hoops.
No, no.
Did you ever think of that?
Those
why is it my
legs,
fault? Why is it not his fault?
Those little legs got us Joe Douglas today, okay? I refuse to say anything negative about RJ Santillo today.
That's fine.
And he's going to try to get himself all the way to the pickleball event.
Oh, please stop.
Saw signs everywhere today again.
What, about this bike marathon?
Tour.
Yeah.
Bike tour.
Well, get out of the city before Sunday. No?
Well, where's he going to stay?
I invited him to my home.
Did the whole family?
Is he bringing the whole family?
Well, he would have to,
right? You know what? Make a night out of it. Go up to somewhere in Connecticut. Spend the night. Maybe somewhere on the shore. Something nice. You know what? Take little Antonio. They have a beautiful aquarium up in Connecticut. Go up there. And the next morning, show up at the pickleball. What's wrong with that?
They just went on vacation. They were at the
family compound down in Florida. I know, but you know what? Maybe this calls for a little getaway.
It is a big event.
A little weekend getaway.
It's a big event.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Did you play? You played today?
Yeah.
Okay. Back feels good. You look good.
Good.
Every day I see you,
feels
look better
good.
And better.
Yeah, you're noticing
every day.
Mm-hmm. Really,
so proud of yourself.
What? Yeah.
What'd you eat for dinner last night?
Dinner last night. Well, I don't want to get into the debate of what constitutes a burger or not, but I had a couple of Sherry made hamburgers.
Okay,
I've had a couple of burgers.
Nice,
bunless burgers.
Bunless burgers. That's okay.
Right, but I know if I say I had a burger, you guys are like, oh, those are not really burgers. Remember we had this debate?
No, but I think that was because wasn't it chopped up already or something like that?
No, I had a burger.
Okay,
just no bun.
Nice.
A little lettuce, tomato, some onion, ketchup. No bun.
Beautiful.
And away we go.
Excellent.
Yeah. Feeling terrific
today. All right, good.
Yeah.
Good. Personal trainer this week?
Went tomorrow.
Excellent.
Tomorrow. And then some light pickleball on Friday.
Light.
And then I'll be ready to go on Sunday. Yeah.
This guy.
I'm really diving in here.
This guy is doing it.
Yeah. Are you playing this week?
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to play. Yeah, I'm going to dabble.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I'm not going to reveal too much, but I'm going to make sure I'll be ready.
You'll be ready?
I'll be ready.
I don't doubt. I don't have any real concerns about you. Mets, only the Mets can be on the verge of a no-hitter and lose. And Yankees
Severino
score.
Nasty.
Awesome.
Nasty.
Yankees, I don't get too much into it now. We'll get into it later. But, I mean, why was he not going home on that play to third base?
Wendell?
Yeah.
Well, that's why he was in for his defense.
Right. But, I mean, it was, when the ball was hit, I was like, all right, go home.
Right.
It's not like this is second guessing.
He didn't even look to go
home. Would easily had him out at home, I thought.
Right. Well, they both stopped initially because the bat broke. And then he, as he fields the ball, I mean, they did breakdown after breakdown. He had plenty of time to go home.
Plenty of time to go home. Didn't Yankees score 15 runs on Saturday, 15 runs on Sunday. They played the Orioles, and they score zero runs last
zero
night.
Runs.
So not a great baseball night. But you know what? Honestly, I feel like baseball is so secondary now. Like, baseball to me is a placeholder for the Knicks, the Rangers, and at the moment, the Islanders. Like, do you agree with that? Like, you can't get that crazy with the baseball because you're so ensconced in these other teams right now.
No, it's actually been to, I mean, if you think about it, it's been to the struggles for the baseball team's benefit. Like, Aaron Judge struggling the way that he struggled, it's been to his benefit that, you know, we're so focused on the Knicks and the Rangers and,
oh, absolutely.
And the Islanders.
Could you imagine if the Knicks and Rangers and Islanders were not in draft, right, and no Joe Douglas and all that kind of stuff? Could you imagine what we would do to Francisco Lindor right now?
They'd be getting some heat. Well, they were getting some heat, and then everyone kind of pivoted over to, you know, let's talk some playoffs now.
Right. Well, because that's the story. Because, I mean, what's going to garner the conversation? Right? Sitting here, end of April, baseball, we have 130 games left, or Knicks can close out the 76ers
yeah,
tonight?
Game 28,
right.
162. Yeah, that's not going to be nearly as exciting as is the New York Knicks looking to close this thing out. And they have to close this thing out.
Yeah, in
this
your mind,
is not one of
have
those,
to.
Well, I mean, come on, man. So when we get into this whole conversation as we headed into the playoffs about matchup, should you win, should you lose?
Right.
There are some teams that pay attention to that stuff. And then there's the Knicks who are just focused on winning. You know, anytime they're on the floor, it's we're hell-bent on winning this game. We're not thinking about what's happening tomorrow, matchups, anything else. That's how they approach the season, and we all respect and love that. My bigger point sometimes when we talk about things like that is if you can have, you always want the better matchup. I said that to you with the Rangers. You want the number one seed because you don't want to face Tampa in the first round. Because why would you want to face Tampa in the first round when you could play the Capitals, who aren't even in the same, like, they aren't even
not even
close.
In the same stratosphere.
Right.
Correct.
So you wipe them out in four. And what happens a lot of the time is that as the playoffs progress, things happen. Right. So now all of a sudden you're looking at a situation where you got the Boston Celtics dealing with an injury to Kristaps Porzingis. So you're letting other teams do your dirty work for you before you actually have to go play.
Well, that's what
that
happens,
team.
Right? It's a long grind in the postseason, and things happen. And so we've seen it a million times.
Right, so rather than get that team at full strength now, because you've had the benefit of not seeing them till, let's say, the Eastern Conference Finals, you could go against them and have no KP. As opposed to if you play them in the first round, they have a healthy Kristaps Porzingis
right.
for most of the series.
And they're fresh and rested and healthy and ready to go. No, this is what you want. You want to kick the can down the road as far as you can. So give me Boston in the conference finals, right? Listen, I mean, if you don't beat Philly now, it would be catastrophic. You need to, and I understand you say tonight is huge, and of course it is. But there would be living to see another day. You have to win the series. You can't not win the series now.
No, of course. And you're the. You don't want to give this team any reason to believe. So you went into Philly, did exactly what you needed to do. Jalen Brunson was really good in both games. You embarrassed them, our fan base embarrassed their fan base. The
yes.
last thing you want to do now is let them stick around, win tonight.
Just let them up.
And then have to go back to
right. You don't want to let them up. You are standing over them. You have your foot on their chest.
Every game you
finish
play
them.
Every game you play, the chances increase of somebody getting hurt. Like, now, for example, we don't have Bogdanovich now tonight.
Right, right.
Like, we'll see what happens with Mitchell Robinson, but every game that you play, every unnecessary game you play, you run the risk of, you know, God forbid, something happening. So you have this team down. I mean, they're down 3-1. You just, again, like I said, you went into their home, beat them, and then our fans, I mean, we took over the place, and then in, like, you were saying yesterday, like, how does Philly as a sports town get up from this?
I don't know how you ever get up
well,
from that.
Well, don't give them the opportunity to get up from it.
Right. Well, but that's two different topics, though, right?
Well, no. Same kind of topic, though. They win tonight. Then all of a sudden, you don't think the people, the Philadelphia Sixers fans, now are all hell-bent on proving to everyone in New York?
Maybe.
That they're going to show up?
Yeah, maybe.
So don't even give them that opportunity.
Yeah. Tonight could go one of two ways. Like this could be a close game throughout. Philly can maybe find a way to steal it. Or I think Philly might tap out early. Like, if you're the Knicks and you jump out to a 14-3 lead, I could see Philly being like, you know, I don't want any part of this. I could see him being quitting. I really could.
Right, we'll
I
make
could
him
see
quit.
Philadelphia giving up.
Well, you got to make him quit. This is one of those don't play with your food kind of games.
Well, that's go out there and from the jump, don't, you know, because the first quarters have not been kind to the Knicks, right? In any game, I think they've trailed every single game, in the first quarter.
Game four, they were down 12.
Right. So go out there and don't start out with, you know, it's 16-4 Philadelphia. Now they have life, and now you have to get back into what you do, which is grind out points and come back and find your way to a lead. I mean, end it early. Go out there. Do you believe that if Knicks go out to an 18-6 run, Philly has the intestinal fortitude, being that Embiid is banged up, right, that they're going to be on the road. It's going to be raucous at the Garden tonight, that you're going to get Philadelphia's best shot if they were down double digits in the first quarter. I think there's a chance they might throw in the white towel.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's tough. You know, down 3-1 all of a sudden now, thinking about we have to win, you know, the next three games, two of those on the road. So don't give them any reason to believe they have a chance. What's the other thing we've said about the Sixers? I mean, we have, you know, D calling almost every day that Embiid and the Sixers team are soft. They don't mentally have what it takes.
I don't think they do.
So, I mean, it's the perfect opportunity then to come out. Don't give them any life. Because you have in the first quarter. I mean, even the first quarter in game four, like I said, you're down 12, but everyone was involved in that first quarter.
I think you've trailed. I mean, this idea that the Knicks are clearly the better team. The Knicks are tougher. The Knicks are, I think, mentally, physically tougher all along the way. But this has not been a one-sided series, right? I mean, game two, you got very lucky to win. And game four, you just... I know it's a phrase that people hate to hear, but it felt to me like the Knicks just wanted that game more than Philadelphia towards the end. So, you know, go out there, take care of your business tonight, get some time off, which would be huge for this club, because for Brunson to get time off and Mitchell Robinson to get time off and Bogdanovich needs time off, like, you need time off. I mean, Josh Hart plays like 45 minutes a night. So get some time off, right? Maybe that Indiana-Milwaukee series extends out a little bit.
I mean, I don't even know about that, though.
Well, Milwaukee could win at home.
Maybe. I mean, you're still dealing with no Giannis and no Dame problem.
I get it. So is Dame done for the playoffs?
He's got the Achilles thing.
Oof.
You don't want to mess with that. See, that's the thing I think you're even thinking about with Giannis. Does this team, like, do we have a real chance? Right? I mean, you have...
Down 3-1, do they have a real chance to come back? The thing is, I don't think Indiana's that great. But if you don't have any
of
your guys...
Well, I'm not even saying just real chance to come back. Like, real chance to get through this playoffs. Like, I mean, there was a reason why KD came back, right? With the calf, and then blew out the Achilles. This is the first round.
Right.
You're going to push a calf strain that could, God forbid, lead to him blowing out his Achilles and losing for an extended period of time next season?
Losing for all next year.
Right, and how does that affect just who he is as a player, period?
Could ruin him.
Plays a completely different game than KD plays.
Could totally ruin him. No, I mean, you're right. But Knicks, take care of business. I don't want to play with your food, like you mentioned. Just go out there and smash this team, because they're teetering. Like, Philadelphia is let's be fair, it's a weak team. Like, they're talented, but when push comes to shove, who do you trust more? Like, in the big spot, who do you trust more? Nurse or Thibodeau
How about Embiid in the fourth quarter?
Non-existent.
No.
They're frauds. That's what they are. I mean, Philadelphia is they're a bully, right? They'll go out there, they'll smack in your mouth, and when you respond, they don't want any part of it in the fourth quarter. And their fans are the same way. I mean, honestly, if you're Andrew Gundling, a Philadelphia fan today, I don't even know how you look yourself in the mirror.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But don't give them, like I was saying earlier, just don't give this team or their fan base an opportunity to bounce back. They're down and out now.
Yes.
Right? Like, so it was like, not only we lose, it felt like our city kind of quit on us. Like, to go, I know everyone, you know, season tickets wants to sell their tickets, make some extra money. But if you really thought your team had a chance in the game four where you just won game three and your superstar player dropped 50, after guaranteeing they were going to come back in the series, and that was the game you were going to decide, hey, let's make some money back.
Would you ever sell your tickets to an opposing fan base that you detest? I would not. If I was going to do that, if I was going to sell my tickets, I would make sure I was selling them to someone that was rooting for the team that I was okay with. There's no way I would ever sell like Giants, Knicks, Rangers, and let the opposing fans sit in those seats. I wouldn't do it.
No, I would be hard pressed to sell the tickets at all at that point. Knowing how important that game four was. That was a huge game.
That was the game of the season.
Right. I mean,
our NBA insider, John Winthrop, said whoever wins that game four is going to win that series.
Well, think about the difference. Being 2-2, now all of a sudden we got to steal one on the road. Now you got to win two on the road to try to win this series.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
You better hope it doesn't happen.
It's not going to happen.
You better hope it doesn't happen.
No, Jalen's been good back-to-back games. Role players will play better at home.
So we've put to rest any of this Jalen Brunson cannot, right? Like, that's now done. Jalen Brunson is back to being an absolute star player,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's a stud.
Yeah.
He's a stud. Listen, it's going to take you a minute, too, though. I mean, you got to understand going into these playoff series, I mean, how much time and effort is going to be spent on trying to slow down the best player.
And Philly's good. Like, defensively, they're
tough
long.
Matchups.
I mean, Oubre is tough and long, and yeah, they have a lot of good defensive players. But here we are. I mean, if the Knicks win this game tonight, we enter May. Knicks, Rangers, Final Eight, and we could have an unbelievable May and maybe even June.
We'll see now because, I mean, if we take care of our business, it looks like we're going to get the matchup that everyone was talking about trying to get in the first round anyway, with Milwaukee being knocked out.
That'd be a great matchup.
Knicks,
second
Pacers.
Round, Knicks, Indiana. But I don't want to look ahead. I don't want to look ahead.
No,
I'm
we
got to
listen.
Yet.
Today, tonight is the most important. For
I know.
All the reasons that we talked about. Also, even Jalen's a little nicked up. Right? I mean, he was back in the long. Like, he's a little nicked up.
Yeah, we had to leave that game at the end of the third quarter the other day, which had me near panic.
Well, every Knicks fan panicked.
Yeah, I'm sure. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. Yes, you heard right. Fresh, hot waffles. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. You know what else we have today? We have CMT today.
CMT, yep.
And I have a little Daniel Jones audio that we can get into. Adam Schefter saying some things which I think will surprise people, but I'm not sure if it's true. I don't know that I believe this to really fully be true.
Well, we'll listen to it.
We'll listen to it. We'll dissect it a little
bit.
And
maybe we'll have Joe Shane on or not.
Well, I think that's RJ. I mean, every time you call Joe Shane for not coming on, I think it's more of a shot at RJ than it is Joe Shane.
No, I think it speaks to how the Jets feel about me and how the Giants feel about you. I mean, you just called Adam Schefter a liar.
Who called Schefter a liar?
You just called Schefter a liar.
I didn't call Schefter a liar.
Now, this is, again, you're being backed into a corner.
I didn't call Schefter a liar.
And you're coming out, you're just the claws.
No, I'm very relaxed.
We go to Jets camp.
Yeah.
You don't go to Giants camp.
Well, I want to go to Giants camp. That's where I want to go.
You know people can't see
you. You think I want to sit there in Florham Park?
Yeah, you love it.
Yeah, please.
They give you. You saw the plate of egg whites they brought you?
Great. You think they don't have eggs?
Like royalty.
They have chickens in Giants camp. You pick your own chicken. And then you take the egg from the chicken, and then you make egg whites. That's Giants camp for you. Fresh papaya.
There's no papaya.
Oh, yeah,
there's no papaya.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8. SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro. DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I don't know why Rick thinks he can regulate who gets stuff and who doesn't. Probably because he's crappy Islander boy. Love Dave. Best on the show. Not even close. So that's nice. That's Steve Bose. Like, that feels like it crosses a line.
Actually, I like yell at the kids when they say if they hate something. Like, no, no, you
hate's a very strong.
Very strong word.
What would you say you hate?
Joel Beach.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Bamboo is dangerous.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. We have CMT coming up in about 45 minutes. Joe Douglas is going to join us. Good get from RJ at 9:30 this morning. I have a lot of questions for Joe Douglas.
I can't wait to hear him. I think I was wrong. I think it's the eucalyptus. I think it's the eucalyptus tree that's highly flammable.
Oh, really?
I think that's right.
I don't know.
I'm in California. I think it's the eucalyptus.
They make a lot of clothing out of bamboo.
They do.
So if clothing.
Yeah, I don't think it's the. I think it's the eucalyptus.
Mm-hmm.
I think I screwed that up.
You could go to Google.
I'll check it right now.
Do they make clothing product out of eucalyptus?
No, I don't believe so. But I think I was told when I was in California that the eucalyptus highly flammable.
Really?
Yeah.
So if it was a dry something hits the eucalyptus, now maybe everything goes up in fire.
Goes up.
Flames.
Yep.
That'd be unfortunate. This is interesting. This is Adam Schefter from McAfee yesterday saying Giants didn't really want a quarterback in this draft.
I believe that the Giants wanted Joel to slide to them. That's my belief. That was the hope that he was going to get to them. And I think some of this quarterback talk for the Giants might have been a little camouflage to try to get somebody like Minnesota to trade up. Because if they had traded up to the Chargers spot at 5 and gotten J.J. McCarthy, Joe Alt would have slid right to the Giants slot at number 6. Mm. And that would have been ideal for a team that last year allowed its quarterbacks to be sacked 85 times.
I don't know that I love this. I don't know that I agree with that sound.
Well, agree or think that Schefter is being given the
Some misinformation. Do I think they might have liked Joe Alt? Yeah, I heard for months that they love Malik Nabers.
They love Nabers.
Love Malik Nabers. There's no way that the Giants were, because we know they were looking to move up to 3. Schefter reported it on draft night. Jordan Renan reported it. They wanted to move up to 3. There's no way they wanted to move up to 3 for Joe Alt.
And give up what was being reported.
You'd be moronic to do that.
That's what you give up to get a quarterback.
You move up to 3 and you give up multiple ones, that's
you just
fine.
Signed Andrew Thomas and you drafted Evan Neal with the 7th overall pick. You're going to trade more
assets?
And you
signed multiple guys along the offensive line in free agency,
period. You're going to trade more assets to get up to number 3 to what? Make Joel your right tackle?
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense because I don't believe it.
I don't believe.
This was the we didn't get a quarterback. We tried to get Drake May.
They tried to get the quarterback. They didn't get the quarterback. And maybe this is them trying to get the egg off their face.
No, not egg. This is kind of, hey, Dan, you're a guy.
You're a guy. Well, I mean, he is the guy. Well, for better or for worse, like if it came by organically or not. But what's the difference?
No, there's a big difference. When you find out someone was trying to replace you, it's different.
You think he doesn't know? You think he's a stupid guy?
No, he's not. But if... Well, take this for example. If you found out that behind your back, John Winthrop was trying to do whatever it took to get someone else to host the show
right. And
couldn't get him, you got wind of it and they was like, no, that was never going to happen. We were trying to get someone else. We were trying to get an evening host.
Yeah, but you know what? That's even more embarrassing. Just own up to it. You know what, Daniel? We were looking in different directions. At the end of the day, we didn't feel like anybody was a better option than you, and you're our quarterback for next year. What's wrong with that?
It doesn't change the fact of how it would make you feel. We just signed you to a 4-year deal.
Okay.
Right? You're our guy.
You still got a lot to prove if you're Daniel Jones.
I understand that. You want us to roll a playoff game. You structured my deal where it makes perfect sense for them to get out of it now, draft a quarterback, and then I'm looking for a new job. Doesn't work out. They can't get up to get Drake May. Pass. Malik Nabers. Now we get the whole, well, now he has a weapon. There's no more excuses. It still wouldn't change how I felt if I was Daniel Jones. And you're right. He's not dumb. So it probably doesn't change the way he feels now anyway, but still, like, I would be, team doesn't want me. This new regime that didn't draft me doesn't think I'm their franchise quarterback as we move forward.
But they also, you know, you're right, and there's a lot of negative feel, I'm sure, that he has with that. But on the flip side, they also could have J.J. McCarthy. They didn't take him. They could have Michael Penix. They didn't take him. Like, it's not like they were... You know, hell-bent on getting rid of me, they thought that maybe one guy was better. You got to go out and you got to prove it. Yeah, this is a big boy game now.
I get it. I understand that. But there still are feelings involved in all of this. Like, when I found out, when I got word that I was, like, they were actually looking to trade me, like, it bothered me. No, I mean, there's only one thing he can do. Go prove to them why you should be their starting quarterback. But there's been so much smoke around this thing. I mean, all the reports that have come out, the Rich Eisen report, like there's been so many reports that they're done with Daniel Jones. And on top of that, the way that they've structured his deal is it would make perfect sense to be done with Daniel Jones.
Well, if he has a bad season, he'll be gone. If he's not good, he'll be gone.
But it doesn't make it not hurt still.
Okay. Like, I guess you're right.
I had what I thought was a good season. We won. We won enough games where we made the playoffs. I won you a road playoff game.
Right. We gave you a 4-year deal, which
now,
is an out after two.
And now what? Because I got hurt.
Okay. Was he good before he got hurt?
No.
Okay. Then he gets hurt and misses the remainder of the season. So is it his first injury? Would you say he's an
no?
Okay. So you have an injury prone quarterback who's average, right? Maybe a little above average. Maybe in the 14-15 range. But the thing on the flip side. You can win games with him. Like, he's not a bad quarterback. He's just not a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. He's not bad.
No, I don't think he's bad either, but it's not. I mean, this is, I think the conversation was more, you know, if you're Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, you have the 6th overall pick, thought maybe there was a chance to get up to 3 where you could get your franchise quarterback.
Right.
Do you want to tether yourself to Daniel Jones? Do you want your job security to be dictated by Daniel Jones? And my answer to that question, if I was Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, would be no. I would want my own guy. I don't want to have my dream job taken from me and never have the opportunity to do it with my guy.
I 100% agree with you, but I don't want to force it. So if Drake May is my dream quarterback and I do everything within my power to get him and I can't get him, I'm not going to move on just to move on. I'm not going to take J.J. McCarthy or any of these other guys.
But also remember, every person that I've talked to and everyone that I listen to always says when you're talking about drafting a quarterback this high in the draft, regardless of how involved your owner is, this is a decision that has to be run by ownership. So I almost feel like they got into a spot where it was, we love Drake May, sold it to ownership, and said... And ownership gave him the blessing. If you can get up to 3 and get Drake May, you go do it. If you have that much conviction, go do it. But if you just like J.J. McCarthy, we just paid Daniel Jones. We drafted him 6th overall.
Clearly they ownership, didn't love J.J. McCarthy.
Ownership likes Daniel Jones. And they've also said to you, we have not given Daniel Jones a fair shake here. And what is the one thing that they always point to? Outside of offensive line. He does not have a legitimate number one weapon.
Okay, so now he's got... a legitimate number one receiver.
Yep.
Now he's got a legitimate offensive line. So there's no more excuses. This is it. It's sink or swim this year. You go out there. And again, do I think there's a chance that he's the long-term quarterback? I do. Do I expect it? No, I don't expect it. But if he goes out there and throws for 4,300 yards and 29 touchdowns and the Giants go to the postseason, yeah, he's going to be back and he's going to be the future quarterback. And if he goes out there and if he gets hurt again or he sucks and the Giants have another 6-11 or 7-10 season, then he'll be out on his ear. So, you know what? All the pressure's on him, but at least it's on him. There is no one's going to be clamoring for Drew Lock.
No.
I mean, go out there and take care of your business. And if you can't, then you're not meant to be the Giants quarterback in the future.
Right, but I also think you kind of, if you're Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, kill two birds with one stone here. Like, if this entire time, I mean, you said it. Part of the reason why Brian Daboll was hired was because they were trying to fix Daniel Jones, and he did for a season.
He did. He was the best version of himself
under
Brian
Daboll. You saw
how
ownership reacted to when Saquon left. Like, Joe Shane had to explain to ownership why we were letting Saquon Barkley leave. And they said, okay. And he was still unhappy that he signed with the Eagles. Ownership likes Daniel Jones a lot and wants to see this work out. So now, here's their opportunity. I mean, you told me, this is why it hasn't. So now he's got what he needs. Right, we couldn't get Drake May. He's got what he needs.
I guess he's got what he needs.
Well, no, but now he can prove it. Like now, no one can make any more excuses for him. If he plays well, great. He's got 2 more years.
This is it.
If he doesn't, now you know we need our guy.
The problem is if he doesn't and he's not good.
How are you getting the quarterback?
I think Dak Prescott could be available. I think Kirk Cousins could be available.
I know, but what does that really do for you? I mean, you're still talking about paying guys $50 million. Does it line up? So for the same reason why you would, why paying Daniel Jones all this money makes no sense.
Well, I don't know that in the draft next year, God knows what pick you're going to have, and God knows who's going to even be considered that level of quarterback.
Well, we don't know, and
we won't
know yet.
No, it's going to take
Did
quite
you expect
some time.
Michael Penix to go 8th?
No. I mean, most people didn't know Michael Penix was the quarterback
or
in Washington.
Or Jaden Daniels to have the season he had?
No. If it was a year ago from right now, and I said Jaden Daniels, you'd say, A, who is that? And you'd say, there's no way he's going to be an NFL caliber quarterback. Certainly not going to go 2nd.
So, I mean, this is, you never know.
You're right. You never know. But he's got his opportunity. I mean, that's all you can ask for. He's got his chance. The Giants' receivers are clearly better than they've ever been for him, and the offensive line the same. Right? The offensive line should be good.
Yeah, the offensive line should be good.
Okay.
Oh, it's going to be better.
Well, I mean, I think of it, and everything is with a caveat is health. But I mean, if the offensive line is healthy, it should be good. I mean, Evan Neal should be better. Should be. And if he's not,
you're bumping him to guard anyway.
All right. So you put him at guard. You got the Runyon, right, that you brought in. You still have Andrew Thomas. You have the kid from the Raiders, Illuminor. I mean, you have
John
done.
John Michael Schmitz.
Yeah, you have done the appropriate work to make this offensive line better. And you've certainly invested a lot of money in equity in it.
And the beauty of what they did is they did all the things leading up to the draft to give themselves a chance to get to three, to get the quarterback, and also try to tempt another team to jump up in front of them so they could have what they wanted. And I don't believe it was Joe Alt. I believe it was.
Can't be.
Well, you're not trading up to three to get Joe Alt.
No one trades 3-1s for an offensive lineman.
You have your left tackle signed already to a long-term deal, and you drafted your right tackle with the 7th overall pick, and you're not trading all that to make Joe Alt your right tackle.
Yeah, but why would you spin it for Joe Alt? Why couldn't you just spin it and say Malik Nabers is the guy we wanted? Like, we got the guy we wanted. Why do you have to spin it for Joe Alt?
I guess because there was some thought that, I mean, Joe Alt was going to go to the Chargers at 5. And they wanted to make sure they got up ahead of the Chargers, I guess.
I don't know. It feels... I've heard for months that they love Neighbors. I mean, people think Malik Neighbors is sensational.
Right. I agree with you. I don't know why this is. And I'm not saying this about Shefty, but just in general, like, part of the give and take of me getting scoops is also having the ability to get out the information that I want.
Sure. So if you're Schefter and you're given this information, do you have to put it out? Or can you say, like, I don't know that makes all that much sense. Let me hold
this
one.
How could you dispute it, though?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
If that's what they were telling you. Like, it's like, hey, you know, this is who we really wanted. But they wouldn't trade because they wanted
to. But I'm wondering how much untrue information gets leaked.
Here's the other part, though. Is you also had the other story that came out. That one of the reasons why the Patriots felt so good about Drake May was because Brian Daboll and Kevin O'Connell both loved him.
Right.
And those two are so, like, they're so highly respected.
Yeah, but that's a terrible reason.
No, but it reaffirms what you thought. We like this guy a lot. And on top of that, we got these, you know, two guys we highly respect bending over backwards. And remember, Brian Daboll was in that building, too.
Sure.
So they got a ton of respect for Brian Daboll. I mean, you know where Kevin O'Connell comes from. So now it's like, wow, these guys want to trade this. What, all this to get this quarterback? He's got to be. We already think he's good, but
that becomes dangerous.
No, I know, but it would make you feel good about it.
Well, yeah,
especially someone like me, I'd be asking everybody.
Well, you'd be terrible with that.
What do you think about Drake May? You like him?
You like him? You think he's good?
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Joe Douglas in an hour from right now, which means that when RJ is droning on with his stuff you missed, we got to cut him off at the knees and say you got to break now because Joe Douglas 9:30.
Yeah, but I think he'll be fine. I think he knows that Joe Douglas is coming on at 9:30.
I just want it to be honest. Nice, I'll give him a
tidy.
Give him a long landing spot. Say, here's 10 minutes. Take it. But when we get to 9:25 or whatever and we have to break for Joe Douglas, I want that to be done appropriately on time.
I don't like what's happening between you two the last couple days.
Between who?
You and RJ.
We're fine. I love RJ.
Well,
I invited him to sleep in my home.
I understand that.
Make him a warm meal. What?
But you've been nasty.
No.
What you just did was nasty.
What do you mean?
The man booked the guest. You don't think that you think all of a sudden now he's just going to go 5 minutes over on Sim?
I think he loves the attention that Sim gives him, I think. So I just want to make sure that he knows that when we get to like 9:26, you got to stop it right there.
It's all about him, you think?
I think RJ is a look at me kind of guy, yes.
Okay.
In certain ways. Not all the way through, but certain ways, yes. I think everybody has some of that.
Santi believes you're projecting right now.
What do you mean?
Your feelings onto RJ. That you like when you're the show.
No, I want to be in the background. I don't want to be the show.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to be the show.
You're talking about selling your own farts. Like, you love it.
No, I didn't bring that up. You brought it up.
I think it's an opportunity.
He's fully ensconced. How much Googling did you do in that break?
Not 1 second. I napped.
I think we get at least $20 a jar.
But I don't want to do that. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and the experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call or click Grainger.com or
hello.
Just stop on by and say that. All right, 1-800-919-3776. Knicks fans are lining up. Mets and Yankees fans as well. Big series for the Yankees. They did not pass the first test. They could not score a run against Grayson Rodriguez and a couple of Orioles relievers. And again, is it a big deal? No, we're sitting here in April. But this is probably right now your toughest competition in the American League in Baltimore.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the team that we both picked to win the division. This is the young and, you know, upcoming team. Yup. I didn't say that right, did I? Up and coming. Not upcoming.
They're the young, up and coming. Yeah.
Up and coming.
They are the team. They it feels like Baltimore is on the verge of being the Houston Astros.
That's what it feels like.
Where they're young,
especially with the new ownership.
They have talent all over the place and they're going to be good for a long time.
Yeah, so you're going to have to deal with this for a while. This team, Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, like all these, like this is, I mean, they sent Jackson Holliday back down. I'm sure you and RJ know that because you have him stashed.
Like, he was hitting like 35.
Stashed, yeah. On your fantasy team.
It was terrible. I'm in a brutal fantasy season.
Clark Schmidt pitched well.
He did.
Pitched really well.
I stand by it. I said it last week. I think he's your best starter right now.
Rodon's been pretty good too.
He has been good.
Yeah.
I trust Schmidt more than I do Rodon.
You know, I remember when you told me that too. The big thing with Clark Schmidt is, yes, two times through the order, really good.
Yep.
So once we got to that, you know, third
is
time
when he
through.
Falls off, absolutely.
And last night he gives you 5 2/3, pitched really well outside of the, you know, the leadoff home run. Problem with the Yankees again, offense. I mean, he had left 10 on base, 0-for-8 runners in scoring position. I actually think they were 2-for-21 with runners on base last night. It's just the offense, Aaron Judge, they have to figure it out. It's Stanton on the bases. They had a real good opportunity there in the third base, in the third inning when they had first and third with one out. Judge ends up striking out, and then Rizzo ends up grounding out. But
you know how many times the Yankees have been shut out? In
five
times.
Yep.
That's pretty unacceptable and unusual for this Yankees team.
Well, with this kind of high-powered offense, yeah. I mean, you're expecting better than that.
But are they a high... Serious question now, and I don't know. Are they a high-powered offense, or are they a high-powered offense against substandard pitching?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you're going to play 162 games. You're going to have to take advantage of the bad pitchers that you're going
to
face.
Right, but when we get to the postseason, we're going to be in the same song and dance of, why can we not hit the elite pitchers in Major League Baseball?
Well, I think that's a bigger conversation that we're going to have, we're going to have. They're going to have to prove that. That's been the problem. It hadn't been the pitching. It's been the hitting. So I knew you'd ask me that question. So just as far as what we've seen so far this season through, I mean, they're 19-11 still. They've won every series but one, and they split another one. Right now, runs... They're second in the American League in runs, third in batting average, second in home runs, and third in the American League with runners in batting average, with runners in scoring position. So that's still pretty good.
Very good. And Judge hasn't been great, and Glaber's been subpar.
I mean, Judge has not been good at all.
No.
I mean, he's a 212 right now.
Right. And that's up from where he was.
Yeah. And then once he gets going, you have to imagine he's going to get going at some point, and this is just a slow month for him. But the longer this goes on, the more questions I don't worry
about Judge at all.
No, I don't either. But the longer this thing goes on, I mean, the more you're going to have to question what the hell is happening here. Right? Did it have something to do with the toe? Does it have something to do with the injury that he was dealing with during the spring? Was it not having a full spring training? Like, there's got to be a reason. He mentioned his timing. And it felt like, his timing is coming back. It's just he's going to have to go on an extended run here where he's carrying this team offensively, because that's what you expect from him.
I expect at some point this year that Aaron Judge will be Aaron Judge. Now, maybe he doesn't hit 280, maybe he hits 250, but I think he's going to, the power numbers at the end of the year. I mean, he's too good of a player to have a substandard year.
Right, I get that. But right now, as we sit here today at 19-11, they've played 30 games. He's at 212 and has hit 6 home runs with 18 RBIs.
Right, which is not good. But do you look at it on the flip side and say he's hitting 212? Without the power numbers, without the RBIs, and you're still 19-11.
Right. If he figures it out. It was the same thing I said to you about Jalen Brunson. You take the positive out of the fact that you won the first two games and he wasn't very good,
right,
as long as he figures it out, which
right.
he has. So, yeah, once he turns back into being Aaron Judge, you know what he's capable of doing and how he can carry this offense. And then you couple that with Juan Soto.
Who is unbelievable.
But the pitching's been, I mean, that's been the other thing. The pitching has been what we thought would slow them down, but it's been good.
It's been good. Bullpen is good, and the starting pitching is good enough.
They got the second best ERA in Major League Baseball. Starters have the fourth best in Major League Baseball, and the relievers have the fifth best in Major League Baseball.
They're a good team. I don't know that it's going to translate to winning a World Series, but right now, end of April, they're one of the better teams in baseball.
It seems like a real great opportunity, though, with like Houston struggling the way that they're struggling. I mean,
what is Houston's record now?
They're 10 games under, 9-19.
They got a lot of work to do, huh?
A lot of work.
So Houston is behind Oakland right now, right?
Must
be.
They're last. They're behind the Angels too,
and Seattle.
Well, Seattle leads the division at 16-13. Then there's Texas, Oakland, the Angels, and then Houston.
Texas is a scary team.
Texas could be a scary team, yeah.
Because if they get healthy, they'll be a real problem and a real concern. Casey in Greenbrook. Hi, Casey. You're on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to say two things real quick. I don't understand how the Yankees can score 15 runs back-to-back against a good Brewers team. They're not a terrible team. And then get blanked by the Orioles.
The Brewers are not a bad team.
Well, because in baseball, I mean, you're as, like they always say, the old cliche, you're as good as your next day starting pitching. I mean, if you go up against the guy that's throwing the ball well, I mean, it's not just going to naturally carry over where you're going to score, you know, 15 runs in back-to-back games.
But then, who did the Brewers throw on Saturday and Sunday?
I know they had a guy named Junk in there for a while.
Yeah, and he lived right up to his name. I mean, they did not start anybody worthy of much. And last night, Grayson Rodriguez is a guy that's given the Yankees fits in the past. He's really good.
Yeah, he's on fire.
I don't think they've scored a run against him yet.
Did you have something else, Casey?
Yeah, I just want to say the disrespect shown to Dave Rothenberg on the promo for the pickleball thing, calling him portly.
He's shapely. I think it was shapely.
I think shapely or poor, either way, that's disrespect.
And yeah, tell me about
when
it,
you
Casey.
Guys wipe the floor with Anita and Imani on Sunday, they ain't going to call you portly no more. It's going to be world-class athlete Dave Rothenberg.
That's
and
what we're looking
DPA
for.
That's
right, but see, here's what people need to understand, though.
Thanks, Casey.
Dave and I are not approaching this the way that Anita's approaching this. We want to under-promise and over-deliver. That's what we want to do here. We want them to sleep on Dave's physique. Maybe Dave turns into the Bartolo Colon of pickleball.
I'm not as fat as Colon.
No, what I'm saying, like, you don't look, yeah, like big sexy. You don't look like a great athlete. All of a sudden, you see that with that, you know, that paddle in your hand.
Well, here's what I would say to you, though. How many times have you played and thought, oh, that person's not going to be great? And you're like, wow, they're really good. Like, I don't think your athleticism really dictates to if you're going to be a good pickleball player or not.
No, I don't think it does either. But, the less they think of you, the better.
I stink.
You're awful.
I'm awful.
You sent me a video. It was...
They're probably going to win all three games. We won't even have to go to a game 4 or 5. That's my
convincingly
thought on the whole.
Too, probably.
Yeah, probably like 11-1, 11-3, something like that. Even if Anita were to pull a quad, they'd probably still beat us.
I don't love our chances.
I don't love them either.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
The pickleball showdown between us and Anita Marks, along with Imani Toomer, is just days away now. It's this Sunday. It's May the 5th at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Pre-game coverage starts on ESPN New York 9 o'clock. I believe that's actually 8 o'clock. With a live broadcast hosted by Anita Marks. Then shortly after the show, the paddles come out for the Pickleball Showdown for the Ages. Be there this Sunday to witness this showcase event at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. I'm ready. I'm ready. I have practiced, and let the best man or woman win this match. 1-800-919-3776. So last night, and you knew it. It's like only the Mets. Like Luis Severino, he's rolling along 70-something pitches through 7, and is he going to wind up? You go to the 8th inning. Not only did the Mets blow the no-hitter, right? Little base hit. Cubs get the hit by pitch, the base hit. They get cobble the run across. But they lose the game. And Edwin Diaz allows a 2-run homer, and the game gets away. So you're 6 outs away from having a no-hitter. I mean, God forbid the Mets hit the baseball. It is unbelievable. I mean, Pete Alonso, I mean, somebody hit the baseball, for God's sakes, right? They get the home run from Nimmo, and then the bats go completely dormant. I'm not saying you have to score 9, but you can't score 4. You score 4 runs last night, you're going to comfortably win that game. But they can't. They keep the Cubs in it. The Cubs are a good team, but it's remarkable that the Mets can, they always find a way to shoot themselves in the foot. And Severino was great last night. Not good, great. And Quintana was great on Sunday. Not good, great. When did you know that you had great stuff? Here's the Mets pitcher, Luis Severino.
First pitch of the game. No, I was feeling good, even in the bullpen. You know, fastball was, the command was outstanding. You know, even the breaking pitch, the sweeper in the bullpen was really good too.
They found something in him, I'll tell you that. And I'm sure that the Yankees fan looks at Severino and says, come on, you got to be kidding me. Like the guy who was pitching to an ERA of 6-something last year, and now he looks like he's a Cy Young Award winner. Now, I know he's not great, but he's like, clearly the Mets found something in him. Right? Frustrating to lose that game. Three more at home with the Cubs, of course, capped off by the game Thursday, a game we'll be at in Section 129. But at the end of the Mets, you got to find a way to win that. And then Cubs have first and third in the eighth with one out. And Joey Wendell goes in as a defensive replacement, and there's a ball hit to him. It looks like this is not second-guessing. My first thought is, all right, go home. He tries to turn the double play around the horn. Safe at first, tie game, gets away. Here's Wendell on the decision to try to turn two.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we had an opportunity to turn double play. Initially thought the ball was hit a little bit harder than it was. By that point, I had already set my feet and kind of committed to trying to turn the double play. If you hesitate there and try to do something else, then it doesn't work. So, you know, obviously looked at the replay. We had him at home. I had an opportunity to get him at home, but I also felt I had an opportunity to, you know, end the inning, and that's the decision I made, and, you know, unfortunately the wrong one.
The wrong one, and I knew it at the time. The second he went to second base, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what are you doing? No, this is a monumental mistake. Don't do this. Because you knew. It wasn't, the ball wasn't hammered. It was not slowly hit, but it was like, you know, a decent speed. But you thought everything has to go perfectly, and there was some speed on the bases, and you get the guy at second, don't get the guy at first, run scores, and you wind up losing on the two-run homer off of Diaz. But it's frustrating to think that you were this close. Right, you were this close. He goes home, he gets him out, you get out of that inning. Maybe it's a different story from Diaz and you win the game. But bottom line is, we're burying the lead. The two leads are Severino was awesome is one, and secondarily, you got to hit the baseball. I mean, I understand Jameson Taillon pitched a really good game. Come on. One run in nine innings against, you know, Hector Neris and Jameson Taillon is just, it's completely unacceptable is what it is. Let's go to West and East Hanover. West, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, fellas. Morning, loyal listeners. You say it can only happen to the Mets. What happened to the Braves last night as well? No, it was a combined no-no, but it was a combined no-no through seven innings. And same fate. Give up a two-run home run in the ninth, and they walk it off. The Mariners beat the Braves. And so the pitching has been incredible for the Mets. I've been incredibly impressed by that as well for the Yankees. So my question for you guys this morning is, how sustainable do you think it is for these guys to continue pitching this well all season, or do you think they'll taper off like they did last year?
Do I think that Adrian Hauser is going to give you a full season, or Jose Budo is going to give you a full season? I would say that's probably unlikely. But can Quintana, and Senga's going to come back at some point, and sounds like McGill's going to come back, and David Peterson's going to come back. So, no, I think that the Mets pitching will be... I mean, Severino looks terrific. I think that the Mets pitching will be fine, if not good, and I think the Yankees are going to be fine. I mean, Stroman is what he is. Like, Stroman's going to, you know, typically be pretty good, and Rodon looks like he's a much better version of himself. And I think the starting staffs of both teams will be fine. I think for the Mets, it's the offense. I mean, Rick, the offense for the Mets is just it's putrid. I mean, that is such bad luck for Severino to throw like that and wind up with a no decision.
Well, forget that. How about you're also, let's talk about what happened the day before, right? With Quintana.
Who was also sensational.
He was sensational, and you were a strike away from losing that game.
Should have lost that game.
But Bader comes through, and then we have Vientos at hit the walk-off. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because when we both looked at these teams, higher expectations for the Yankees, obviously, but with the Mets, it was, you didn't necessarily trust the pitching staff. So if this team was going to, you know, when the owner comes out and said he'd be disappointed if they didn't make the playoffs, they're like, whoa, like, playoffs, really, with this team?
That seemed like a bit of a stretch.
Right, but I think he wants to... I think he was trying to get the fan base engaged because there was really no... There was no buzz at all. For both, I mean, there was... I think we had the conversation. Like, we were surprised with how little buzz there was for the start of the Major League Baseball season, maybe because there was a lot of stuff going on with other teams and everything else.
Right.
But, I mean, speaking as a Mets fan, there wasn't a ton of excitement because you just didn't think this team was. They're not nearly as good as the Braves. They're not as good as the Phillies. They'd be hard-pressed to be a playoff team. And then when the owner said that, it's like, okay, well, if he thinks that's the case, maybe we're not seeing something that he's seeing or that, you know, Stearns isn't seeing. It was going to have to be because, you know, Marte was back, right? You know, Pete was going to have a, you know, the power would be there, but the, you know, batting average would be better. Like, these guys, McNeil would get back to being closer to what we saw when he won the batting title. Like, it was going to have to be the lineup. And for the most part, I mean, the pitching has been good.
For the Mets, it's been excellent.
For the Mets, it's been good.
Yeah, it's been really good.
But the guys that you're relying on, like Lindor, Alonso, those guys, I mean, they have to...
Nimmo,
right. I mean, your core group of guys have to be better.
Well, they've been substandard. I mean, again, I mean, you're Severino. You go out and you throw, what, eight innings of one-run ball. I mean, that's got to be a win.
Well, on top of that, too, I mean, you're in a spot where, I mean, the guy you bring in, which is a smart decision because Vientos is not a great defensive third baseman, makes that decision in that moment. Where now we get out of that inning, we have a one-run lead with Edwin Diaz. That's it.
But
that's
another thing. The play was clearly to go home. I mean, he would have gotten him out by 5 feet. Now you got first and second, two outs, and likely you get out of that.
Likely you get out because Severino's stuff was still at that point.
It was filthy.
It was nasty.
He was absolutely filthy. And you know what? Let's give Stearns a little bit of credit because there was a lot of, oh, God, and the Yankees fans were laughing, and, oh, you got our trash. Well, you know what? He looks pretty darn good for the first month of the season.
He does. He does. I mean, it was a low-risk, high-reward situation.
Right, and so far you've been rewarded if you're the Mets. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We have a lot to do in the 9 o'clock hour. We have stuff you missed. Still have the concern that RJ is going to try to go long, so we'll put the leash on him, make sure he's done by right about 9:24. Joe Douglas is going to join us at 9:30, and we'll get to your calls because tonight is the Knicks, and they can close this baby out, and I think they do. We'll get to that and more next on 98.7 ESPN. Score the seats and memories this spring and with Vivid Seats, your home for every buzzer beater, puck drop, and home run. Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter the most to you. And with a 100% buyer guarantee, Vivid Seats gives you the peace of mind for the ultimate fan experience. Celebrate your fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Visit Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
All right, Joe Douglas is with us.
Oh.
Yeah, he's ready to go. Jets GM Joe Douglas, Joe, Dave Rothenberg, Rick DiPietro, 98.7 ESPN. Thanks for a few minutes this morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Good to be with you.
So we appreciate it. So a couple of things we certainly want to dive into. Firstly, Fashanu, why him over some of the other offensive linemen I had seen you guys link to in some of the mock drafts leading up to this?
Yeah, we felt it was a really good tackle group. So you saw I went off with Alt going to the Chargers and then Latham from Alabama going to Tennessee. And, you know, I think for us, there were still a lot of good blockers left. But with Olu... you're just getting a highly productive left tackle. That was a priority, someone that can play left tackle. And just his pass protection, his production. Very little pressures, no sacks, like just a very sound pass protector and a very good run blocker, in our opinion. I know there's some public opinion that he wasn't a great run blocker, but he gets the job done at a high level and has gone up against a lot of good players in the Big Ten.
So, Joe, I love the pick. Dave and I went back and forth. There was a lot of reports. You guys were in love with the wide receivers. But as far as things that could derail this season in kind of an all-in season would be, you know, offensive line goes down, Tyron, whoever. You had to make sure that you have the right kind of depth. The people that don't like the move say, you did it last year with Will McDonald. Now, all of a sudden, you, again, first pick in the first round, decide to take someone that could be a backup. You might not see. I don't think that's going to be the case because it's 17 games. Someone's going to get hurt. But is there a chance, you said left tackle, that he sees any time at guard, or is he strictly, in your mind, a left tackle?
I think that's probably more of a Robert question, but I feel like tackle's what he's played his entire career in high school and college. And I think he'll get out here practice and we'll have him get in the left tackle stance, get in the right tackle stance. I mean, he's going to practice a lot of different positions here And he's excited to get into a great room. We love the depth in the room. Unfortunately, I guess one of the silver linings about all the injuries we've had the last 2 years is that we've had a lot of young deaf players that have had to step up and start games in this league. And so all of our backups have started games. And so, you know, he's going to add to a great room and be with two top tier veteran players and people in Tyron and Morgan.
So, Joe, I heard a lot of rumblings and reports from very legitimate people that you guys attempted to move up and really wanted a wide receiver. The one I heard specifically was Roma Dunze. Is that accurate? Was that the goal to try to move up and you kind of, you know, changed on the fly here?
Yeah, I think we were the first trade in the draft, if I'm not mistaken. So, and I think everyone saw from 1 to 9, everyone decided to stick and pick and made their choices. So there wasn't a lot of movement. I feel like guys locked into their players and made their choices. And so once we got to 10, we had an opportunity to move back one spot with the Vikings, do a deal where we were able to pick up a fourth and a fifth. And you know, we had a pretty good thought process that they were going to be taking a quarterback and not someone we were targeting. So this was an opportunity to move back one spot, and it was busy. It was busy during the leading up to that pick 10. And then even when we were on the clock at pick 11, there was a lot of action, but we felt that was the right move just to make that one spot move, pick up the guy we want and get a little extra draft capital.
Joe, how true, and I don't even know if you can answer this question, but I mean, every mock draft that came out had, you know, had you connected to Brock Bowers. Was that ever a thought, or was it, if we can't get the wide receiver that we want, that we'll be more than happy to take an offensive lineman?
Yeah, Brock was certainly in that scenario. I mean, the draft kind of came off probably how most teams had it with the wide receivers, the tackles, and Brock, and of course the quarterbacks. So, no, Brock was certainly in our consideration and a player that we felt is a dynamic chess piece. You can move all over the board. We felt like for us, and I think you touched on earlier, like, okay, what are the things where things, what are the problems that could really sidetrack the team moving forward? And so it became really clear, like, we're going to get a player in Olu that is highly productive, is our type of guy, plays with our type of mentality, toughness, effort, grit, and it just was an opportunity that we couldn't pass up.
Joe Douglas with us here, 98.7 ESPN, Jets GM. So you mentioned what could sidetrack the team. We saw last year what could sidetrack the team, and that's an injury to Aaron Rodgers. So give us the latest. Where are we with him health-wise?
Aaron's doing great. He's moving around well. I mean, just having him back for the last few weeks of practice and having him run our scout team was amazing. He actually built a pretty cool rapport with some of our practice squad players, wide receivers and tight ends and running backs. So that was fun, and he had fun doing it. So it was good to see him come out when OTA start, and he's moving around great. He's flinging the ball as well as ever.
Joe, so how excited are you for Malachi? I know I was seeing some behind the scenes stuff. It seemed like you guys were pretty. I think when you actually talked to him, you tried to go up and get him a couple different times. Couldn't get up into the second round to get him. End up getting him in the third. How excited are you for the Yak King?
Yeah, we were active trying to get Malachi. We started around pick 45 making calls, and so we were at 72, and that was too far back for most teams to come back to. But we couldn't be more excited about Malachi just because that DNA that we're talking about of toughness and loving the game and wired to compete, like Malachi has all of that. He plays offense with a defensive mentality. I mean, he's a compact, explosive athlete. He's built like a running back. His excellent feet, excellent burst, and he can separate at the top of routes. But with the ball in his hands, I mean, he's special. He has some special qualities, and one of the things we love is how he attacks defenders after the catch. And you know, he's not afraid to lower his shoulder and try to run people over. But he also has the elusiveness and the foot quickness and lateral agility to make people miss in space and create those extra yards to help the offense.
So I certainly know that you guys draft for value and need and all that and kind of, you know, push it together and then make the final decision. Why two running backs and only one offensive lineman in this draft?
It's just how the board fell. We got together on Saturday as a group. We had the coordinators and our scouts, and, you know, we have a meeting, and the guys just – we put together a group of guys that everyone's excited to add. And so, you know, we had – I think if we would have had a small group of players, you would have seen us stay with our 3 fourth-round picks and select. But we had a pool of players that a lot of people in the building were excited about. So we made a few trades. We were able to pick up a third-round pick in next year's draft from Detroit. And ultimately, two of those guys that we were really excited about were Braylon and Isaiah, two young backs. Highly productive, I mean prolific production in terms of yards and touchdowns. You know, I was joking. I thought I was embellishing talking to some people last night that, yeah, these guys combined have like 70 rushing touchdowns. The real number is 85. These guys that combined have 85 rushing touchdowns in their college careers. So they're big backs. They know how to finish around the goal line. They're going to be really good special teams players. They catch the ball well. And in a perfect world, they're guys that can help us close out games in four-minute situations with their size, their instincts, their toughness, their play strength, and their nose for the goal line.
Yeah, they're both big running backs. A lot of my Jets buddies are kind of in the spot where we understand Aaron's going to be here this year, hopefully a couple more years. But the plan after that, and we were hoping that you guys would take a quarterback. Jordan Travis coming off horrific injury. Just what's the plan for him? Where is he at health-wise? What did you see from him that made you want to draft him?
Yeah, the plan for him is just to plan him in a great, great quarterback room. No different than the room that Olu's going to. Just high-quality veterans, great people. You know, he's gonna be able to watch and learn two of the best guys in the NFL, and Aaron and Tyrod, and you know, just they're going to take him under their wings, and he's going to grow. And I think what you saw from Jordan every year at Florida State was he got better and better and better, took care of the ball better and better and better. And you know, he's a dynamic athlete, excellent feet. He can create time when he needs to, but he also can play on schedule, in rhythm. He has quick eyes. He can get the ball out. He's got a quick, compact delivery. He's really accurate on the slot fade. He does a lot of cool things that can help the offense extend drives. And on top of it, he's a tremendous person and leader. And just him coming here for the day, spending the day with us on the pre-draft visit, and then you know, we had Todd and Nathaniel go down, spend time with him in his hometown as well. Like he's a very natural leader, and you can see why his teammates gravitate towards him and play so hard for him.
Joe, I know there's always pressure in New York. There's always pressure, but is there more on you guys this year than you've ever seen in the past? I mean, last year there was these expectations that didn't live up to them. We know the injuries. I mean, Rodgers is certainly an advanced age in his NFL career. Do you have to accomplish certain things this year?
Yeah, of course, we understand the pressure. We know what the stakes are. We have a good team, and we had a good team last year, and a lot of unfortunate things happened, and we weren't able to get it done. But, yeah, of course, we understand the pressure in front of us, and you know, we're ready, and we're going to control the controllables and try to go out and win a bunch of games this year.
Joe, what else needs to be done? I mean, we're through the draft now. There are certain things you still want to kind of accomplish here. I'm sure there are, but what are the things that you would point to as things that you want to get done here?
Yeah, I mean, we're going through the list of veterans, and we're looking for some guys, any chance we can to add, to fortify some different position groups. We're talking through that yesterday, today, if there's some guys that make sense. We don't have a lot left in the budget to go out and spend, but if there's if the right opportunity presents itself, you know, I think we can add to different position rooms, and as long as it's the right type of player and person.
Jets GM Joe Douglas joins us on the show. So, Joe, doing this every day for 4 hours a day, talking about you guys, talking about you know, expectations and everything else. Dave was mentioning that, but a polarizing, you know, part of your team is Aaron Rodgers. Now I know Aaron a little bit, but I'm not in the locker room. I don't see how he interacts with players and coaches and everything else. So there's one of two things that is said, right? It's either, you know, people are excited that Aaron's the quarterback, and then there's also the other people that kind of, you know, Aaron's, you know, holding this franchise hostage. He has all the say and everything else. What could you just tell people what someone like Aaron Rodgers brings to the building, to the coaching staff, and to the players with the Jets?
Yeah, I think there's a perception of Aaron from those that do not know him or have not been around him. I think earlier in the offseason, Thomas Morstead did a really cool interview talking about it. But when you get around Aaron and you spend time with him and get to know him as a person, you see how genuine he is, how authentic he is, and how good of a person he is, how he really wants to make meaningful connections with, you know, not just his teammates, but, I mean, people in the building. He's coming up and he's spending time with ticketing people, our marketing people. He's just a really fun guy to be around. And, you know, at the same time, all he wants to do is win. And so I've had a chance to have so many meaningful conversations with him in this year that we've worked together. I'd say this, like, he's a great teammate. I really feel that way. Like, he's extremely intelligent guy, and he really cares. He cares about people, and he cares about winning.
Do you ever wish at all he would be a little lower profile and not do some of the interviews and maybe say some of the stuff that he does, even away from the Jets facility, like vice presidency and some of the stuff he said?
Well, I mean, he's an authentic guy, and, you know, he's to each their own. Everyone lives their life the way they want to, and so you know, I have a lot of respect for Aaron the person, and of course Aaron the player.
Well, listen, we really appreciate a few minutes. I hope you're not a stranger. We'd love to have you on as the season, you know, gets closer, and even during season. You're always welcome in studio, on the phone, whatever. We do appreciate a few minutes this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, there you have it. That's your GM. He's a likable guy.
Well, he is, and yeah, he understands. I mean, this is kind of it.
All right, let's break. We'll come back. We'll kind of unpack where we were with him. Get to the calls, 1-800-919-3776. It'll be a brief melange, but there'll be a melange on 98.7 ESPN. All right, guys, Dave Rothberg here to tell you about my friends at Bathfitter. They converted my kid's bathtub to a shower, did a phenomenal job. Customized just as we wanted, only one expert installer. Process was easy. There's no demo, there's no mess, and Bathfitter is a high-quality, permanent solution with a full lifetime guarantee. 3+ million happy customers like me and my wife, and for a limited time, you get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bathfitter system. So start designing your bath today, like we did at bathfitterdesign.com, because there's only one Bathfitter.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.